Chapter 11. A man called Uwe, and a lanky one who can't open a window without falling off a ladder. It's 5:45, and the first proper snowfall of the year has laid itself like a cold blanket over the slumbering community of row houses. Uwe unhooks his jacket and goes outside for his daily inspection. With equal surprise and dissatisfaction, he sees the cat sitting in the snow outside his door. It seems to have been sitting there all night. Uwe slams the front door extra hard to scare it away. Apparently, it doesn't have the common sense to take fright. Instead, it just sits there in the snow, licking its stomach, utterly unconcerned. Uwe doesn't like that sort of behavior in a cat. He shakes his head and plants his feet firmly on the ground. The cat gives him the briefest of glances, clearly uninterested, then goes back to licking itself. Uwe waves his arms at it. The cat doesn't budge an inch.
"This is private land," says Uwe.
When the cat still fails to give him any sort of acknowledgement, Uwe loses his patience and, in a sweeping movement, kicks one of his clogs towards it. Looking back, he couldn't swear that it wasn't intentional. His wife would have been furious if she'd seen it, of course. It doesn't make much difference, anyway. The clog flies in a smooth arc and passes a good yard and a half to the left of its intended target before bouncing softly against the side of the shed and landing in the snow. The cat looks nonchalantly first at the clog, and then at Uwe. In the end, it stands up, strolls around the corner of Uwe's shed, and disappears. Uwe walks through the snow in his socks to fetch the clog. He glares at it as if he feels it should be ashamed of itself for not having a better sense of aim. Then he pulls himself together and goes on his inspection tour. Just because he's dying today doesn't mean that the vandals should be given free rein. When he comes back to his house, he pushes his way through the snow and opens the door to the shed. It smells of mineral spirits and mold in there, exactly as it should in a shed. He steps over the Saab's summer tires and moves the jars of unsorted screws out of the way. Squeezes past the workbench, careful not to knock over the jars of mineral spirits with brushes in them. Lifts aside the garden chairs and the Globe barbecue. Puts away the rim wrench and snatches up the snow shovel. Weighs it a bit in his hand the way one might do with a two-handed sword. Stands there in silence, scrutinizing it. When he comes out of the shed with a shovel, the cat is sitting in the snow again right outside his house. Uwe glares in amazement at its audacity. Its fur is thawing out, dripping, or what remains of its fur. There are more bald patches than fur on that creature. It also has a long scar running along one eye, down across its nose. If cats have 9 lives, this one is quite clearly working its way through at least the 7th or 8th of them.
"Clear off," says Uwe.
The cat gives him a judgmental stare, as if it's sitting on the decision-making side of the desk at a job interview. Uwe grips the shovel, scoops up some snow, and throws it at the cat, which jumps out of the way and glares indignantly at him. Spits out a bit of snow, snorts, then turns around and pads off again, around the corner of Uwe's shed. Uwe puts his snow shovel to work. It takes him 15 minutes to free up the paving between the house and the shed. He works with care, straight lines, even edges. People don't shovel snow that way anymore. Nowadays, they just clear away. They use snow blowers and all sorts of things. Any old method will do, scattering snow all over the place. As if that was the only thing that mattered in life, pushing one's way forward. When he's done, he leans for a moment against the shovel in a snowdrift on the little pathway, balances his body weight on it, and watches the sun rising over the sleeping houses. He's been awake for most of the night, thinking of ways to die. He has even drawn some diagrams and charts to clarify the various methods. After carefully weighing up the pros and cons, he has accepted that what he's doing today has to be the best of bad alternatives. Admittedly, he doesn't like the fact that the Saab will be left in neutral and use up a lot of expensive gas for no good reason afterwards, but it's simply a factor that he'll have to accept in order to get it done.